Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day, for everything you've done for us, Lord. We pray, Lord, for the condition of our heart, as we'll talk about today from your word. We pray, Lord, that our hearts are open and receptive to your word and who you are. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to navigate the situations of life based upon your word. I pray, Lord, that you would minimize the distractions for us so that we can concentrate on what you want us to learn. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The author Jay Stowell says this about the heart in his book, Fan the Flame. He says, the heart is used in the scripture as the most comprehensive term for the authentic person. It is the part of the being where we desire, where we deliberate and decide. It has been described as the place of the conscious and decisive spiritual activity. It's described as the center of a person. Today, what we're going to do in 1 Thessalonians 2:13 through 20, we're going to learn that focus comes from having a receptive heart towards God's word. And it's going to challenge us, because when we have a receptive heart towards God's word, it'll change the way we respond to God's people, to lost people, and to really life in general. So before we jump into today's passage, what I would like to do is I would like to tell you a parable that some of you might be familiar with. It's called the parable of the sower. And it's found in Matthew chapter 13. Up here, we're going to have a picture of an artist's rendition of the parable of the sower. So Jesus tells this parable, and it's in Matthew chapter 13, and he tells this parable, and he says that a sower goes out into the field, a farmer goes out into the field, and he's sowing seed. And what happens is as he's throwing this seed around, the seed lands on different types of soil. He says the first place that the seed lands is on the path, and the path is packed down, and the seed does not penetrate the soil at all. And eventually, the birds of the air fly by and come and eat the seed up. It never gets into the soil, never germinates, never blossoms, anything like that. The next area that some of the seed falls on is what Jesus calls the rocky soil. And there's some soil and there's some rocks. And this seed, Jesus describes that it gets into the soil, it germinates and actually blossoms. But the plant doesn't bear any fruit at all. It just blossoms. And eventually what happens when the sun comes out, because there is not enough roots because of the rocky soil, the plant just kind of withers and dies. But then Jesus says that some seed falls on some other soil, and it's thorny soil. And this seed, it goes into the soil, and it springs up a plant, but then the thorns and thistles around it kind of surround it, and nobody's weeded there, and it just kind of chokes out that plant, and it kind of dies. But then Jesus says the fourth place that the seed falls is on this good soil. And this is what the farmer had hoped for, that the seed will germinate and do everything and blossom and bear fruit. So Jesus tells this parable to all the people. And the reason why he tells this parable is because he's telling us that the four types of soil represent the types of heart conditions that there are in people. Jesus tells us this, that the seed represents God's word, and each soil represents a condition of the heart. The promise of God's word is that it pierces our hearts. It convicts our hearts. It does not come back void. It brings healing to our lives. It brings guidance to our lives. So when we have a negative heart condition, if we're in one of those bad soils, what's going to happen is there's going to be problems, like the path, like the rocky soil, like the thorny soil. The only soil that actually receives God's word and actually bears fruit is the good soil. So as Christians, we need to ask ourselves some questions. We need to ask ourselves some questions about the condition of our heart. So that's what I want to do with you this morning. I want to have you ask questions. The first question is this: is my heart hard towards God's word? This would be, you'd be the person, kind of the path. Okay? God's word comes to you, and it just does not penetrate your heart. You don't want to listen to it. You're not willing to obey it. You're not willing to take it seriously. You're not willing to make any changes based upon God's word. You don't like to listen to God's word that much. Okay, you are a believer, but you know what? Having somebody preach at you, stuff like that, you're not really interested in that. Your heart's hard. If someone were to come up to you and point out to you what you're doing wrong based upon God's word, you would probably respond like that: this, that's none of your business. Or you would say something like, doesn't the Bible say judge not? And I think that you're judging me. That's the hard-hearted type of person. They don't respond well towards God's word. The second question I want you to ask yourself is this: is your heart shallow towards God's word? Now, this is that rocky soil. Remember, the seed was planted and it came up, but then the sun came up, and because there wasn't a root system, it kind of withered over. The rocks kind of were in the way of the roots. So is your heart shallow towards God's word? And what that means is this: you have an eager desire at first and you have great intentions and you're like, you know what? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I love God's word. Maybe even this year you said 2014, I'm going to read through the Bible in a year. And here we are in March and you're like, wait, what? But my app keeps on reminding me I'm supposed to do something, but I don't do it. You have this eager desire at first, but then it kind of withers away because there's no follow through. You don't study. You don't have a commitment to looking at God's word. You're a follower and you're easily influenced. Hey, you follow every which way the wind blows. You get excited and your excitement is very shallow. If you don't understand something in God's word, you kind of put it aside. Instead of searching for the answers, you just say, you know what? I tried to read the Bible, but I don't understand it. That's if your heart is shallow towards God's word. Is your heart troubled towards God's word? Is your heart troubled towards God's word? That's the next question for you. Every time I seem to get my act together, the thorns of this life kind of choke out any desire I have. When trouble comes my way, I don't really cling to God's word. I cling to other things. I started to cling to God's word, but it didn't really work out that well, and everything else seemed to be going wrong. I don't really like pressure. I don't like conflict. I don't like working things out. I don't like working things out biblically because that's too hard. That's the type of person that has a troubled heart towards God's word. You look at life and you start to realize, when things get tough, I get out of here. I don't want to be anywhere near this. You start to look at life and say, how can I fix my problems? Maybe there's sinful ways that you can fix your problems, or maybe there's non-sinful ways, but not really helpful ways that you're trying to fix your problems. But you rarely would ever go to God's word and say, you know what? I wonder what God's word has to say about that. That would be a person who has a troubled heart towards God's word. But finally, is your heart receptive towards God's word? That's the good soil. Your heart's receptive. You've trusted in Christ. You've continued to grow year by year. You're willing to go to God's word and admit when you're wrong. You're willing to be taught from God's word. You're willing to go to God's word and you're willing to ask him questions. God, what do you have in store for me? What are your plans for me? You look for biblical counsel. When something's going wrong in your life, you don't run everywhere else. You run to God's word and see what his word has to say about it. You value your Christian friends that know more about God's word than you do, because they can help you and speak good things into your life and help you. You humbly look at the word and you say to yourself, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? You humbly look at the word, and even when there's things in the word that you don't necessarily agree with, you still accept as God's word and say, you know what, God, I don't agree with you on this one, but you're God and I'm not. So I'm going to humble myself before your word. That's a receptive type of heart. See, the church in Thessalonica that Paul was writing to, they had receptive hearts towards God's word. And Paul, the apostle Paul, was really happy with them. And here's what he said. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13 says this: and we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. So here's what Paul's saying. Paul's thanking them. He's saying, you know what? Here's what I'm so thankful for. You guys are good soil. You guys are good soil. Your heart was receptive towards God. So think about this. Think about your life. Just be honest. It's just between you and the Lord. What is your heart like towards God's word? Is it hard? Is it shallow? Is it thorny? Okay. Is it troubled like that? Or is it good soil? Is it receptive? And listen, I'm not talking about non-Christians right now. I'm talking to you that are Christians. I'm talking to you that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not a Christian, here's what I want to tell you. If you leave here with nothing else, know this message, that Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you so much that even though you are a sinner, he was willing to come to die for you. He died in your place for your sin. The Bible says he rose again to prove that he was God. The Bible says this, all who believe will have eternal life. Listen to me. If you're not a Christian, if you don't believe that, you're not a Christian. And you need to believe that. That's important. That's the most important thing you will ever hear in your entire life. It's not a message from me. It's a message from God. It's what his word says. You need to trust him. But for those of you who already have trusted him, you realize that in life that sometimes, yeah, my heart's a little hard towards God's word. Sometimes my heart's shallow. I don't really want to get into it. Sometimes it's troubled. I don't think it's useful for me. But sometimes it's receptive. I want to hear what God's word has to say. That song that we sang right before the sermon, Jimmy Penn wrote that song. And it's such a beautiful song because here's what it's saying. Right before you, I come here to hear your word. I'm coming here to hear what you have to say amongst your people, to hear what you have to say. Help my heart to be able to accept what your word has to say. And I really believe this because the scriptures teach this, is the condition of your heart will dictate how you respond in different situations. The first situation we're going to look at is this. The condition of our heart will dictate how we respond to God's people. Let's look at verse 14. Verse 14 says this. For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. So now Paul's saying, listen, here's what I'm so happy about. Your hearts were receptive towards God's word, and here's what you did. Here's the impact. You looked around at God's people. You enjoyed their company, but you looked around and you imitated them. You saw the people that were living the right way, and you actually imitated them. And it's because your hearts were receptive to the word of God. So when we have a hard heart towards God's word, here's what happens to our interactions with believers. We start to not care about the church. We start to not care about the church and its people. The love that we once had maybe grows cold towards God's church and his people. We start to throw stones at the people in the church. We start to talk about them, criticize them, judge them, whatever it is. Our hearts are hard. We look at the believers around us and we don't appreciate them. We criticize them and judge them and we think that we don't need them. Because our hearts are hard towards God's word. You see, if we're not listening to God, there's no way we're going to be able to respond well to his people. So because of our hard hearts, we start to look at the family that God has placed us in, and we don't appreciate them. We don't have any loyalty towards them. But see, when our heart's shallow towards God's word, our response to God's people is a little bit different because we're happy at first. We're eager. We come in, we're like, oh, I love this church. I love these people. I'm going to volunteer for this and that and the other thing, and I'm going to be all involved. And then all of a sudden, we kind of lose steam. We were eager at once, but we kind of start to fall off the map. We don't deal with the Christians around us. We bail on our commitments to them. Then when situations come up, we don't handle those situations in a biblical fashion because we don't really know much about them because we're shallow in our understanding about God's word. So we just look and say, you know what? I don't really need this in my life. I don't really need to be around God's people because you're not receptive to God's word. You're actually shallow. You don't know enough about it. So you're eager at once. And guess what? If some other group of people come into your life and they're really nice and exciting things are happening, you're eager to follow them too. You're that type of person. You're kind of like a follower of people that are excited. But see, when our heart's troubled towards God's word, we start to look at the church in a very different way, and God's people in a very different way. We start to look at it as like a consumer. We kind of shop around and look, okay, what church can meet my need the best? Okay, what people can meet my need the best? Where can I go where everybody's going to make my problems the most important problems? And listen, we all have problems, right? We all have issues that we're dealing with. But when you have a troubled heart towards God's word, you don't look at God's word for how God has placed you in the midst of his people. You start to look and you start to say, oh, you know what? What can I get from this? Oh, this isn't meeting my needs. Or these people aren't meeting my needs. They don't make my problems number one. They don't drop everything for me. And you start to look at church and God's people in a very different way. You forget all the things that God talks about in his word on how he's placed you here with spiritual gifts to serve one another. I had a men's group yesterday morning, and I said to the men, you know what, if you're sitting around the church, if you're around the church in a service or at a ministry or anything, and you're looking around and you're criticizing, saying, somebody really needs to do this. You see something needs to be done. You said, somebody really needs to be doing this. I just said to them, listen, maybe that's the Holy Spirit saying, you need to actually exercise your gift and start doing that. See, when you have a troubled heart towards God's word, you don't really understand your place in the body of Christ. Granted, we hope and pray that when you come here with troubles and when you're in fellowship with other believers in troubles, that we can help you as God's people. But we shouldn't look at the church as how can it meet my needs? We should look at it as Jesus met my need. Now he's placed me in this body of believers to help meet the needs of other people. See, but finally, when we have a receptive heart towards God's word, we come to this realization about God's people. God placed me in this family. He adopted me into this great big family with all its flaws, with all its sinners, with all its good things, with all its bad things. And guess what? We're going through this together. We are Christians on mission in one family to help one another. See, oftentimes when your heart's not receptive, when bad things happen within your church family, you start to hit the eject button. You're like, I'm getting out of here. You know, a lot of my pastor friends say to me, like, hey, Mike, you've been at that church for so long. You've been there like 18, 19 years. How do you stay at the same church? And, you know, deep down inside, I know that you people are loving people, make my life very good as a pastor. But, you know, I'll answer to them as well this. There's going to be problems wherever you go. I just choose to have problems with the people that I've known for almost two decades rather than find strangers to have problems with. Okay? Because that's the truth. Okay? Because guess what? If I packed up and went to another church because of a problem or two or three or a dozen, guess what? There's going to be problems there too. And some people with troubled hearts towards God's word and God's people, they move around. And you might have seen this in your life. Okay, 2 or 3 years at one church, then there's some problems. What do? Run, go to another church. They find that other church, lo and behold, two or three years, they're running to another church. And they have a string of churches over the course of their life because every time they hit a problem that wasn't taken care of the way they thought it should be or their needs weren't met, they just bailed. How could you ever be on mission for God in your community if that's the way you look at God's people? How can they meet my needs? You can't look at it like that. You have to have a receptive heart towards God's word and realize that you're here to continue to meet the needs of other believers. And if we all look at it like that, guess what's going to happen? The needs will be met. See, a person with a receptive heart towards God's word responds to God's people this way. They love God's people. They protect God's people. They don't gossip about God's people. They're helpful to God's people. They defend the church. They defend the mission. They love one another. They don't gossip about one another. They don't judge one another. They live as Christians. Because you know what? Jesus actually said this to his disciples. They'll know that you follow me by the love that you have for one another. Do you realize that? The love that we have for one another will speak volumes to those outside these walls. Rick Warren said it this way. This is interesting. He said, there are two reasons people have not come to Christ. One is that they don't know any other Christians, and two is that they do know Christians. You get that? Because some Christians can be a bad testimony, right? If that's what a Christian is, I don't want any part of that. That's what some people are outside saying. Well, we don't want to be that, do we? We want to love God's people. They're our family. You're our family. We love our family. So when your heart's receptive towards God's word, we'll also respond to God's people the way Jesus wants us to. And the lost people will take notice. See, the condition of your heart will also dictate how you respond to what I'm going to call lost people. Why do I call people that don't know Jesus lost? Well, that's kind of what Jesus calls them. His parable of the lost coin, the lost son, and the lost sheep. He calls people that don't know him as lost. But I think it's important for us to realize that this is so appropriate for us to think of non-Christians in this way, as lost. Now, they might not think that. They might think that's offensive. Like, you're calling me lost? I don't need to be found. I'm not lost. But think about it this way. If you were in the mall and you saw a little boy or girl crying because they were lost and they couldn't find their mommy or daddy, how would you treat them? Hopefully, you'd go up to that kid and be like, oh, you know what? I'll take you to the courtesy desk so I can help you. This way, you're protecting them from anybody who's not helpful. But you would have compassion on them. You would love them and help them because you have a concern and desire for them. Now, what if you were in the mall and you saw a lost kid, and then you saw somebody go up to that kid and was like, why are you crying? Oh, you're lost? Duh. Can't you keep your eyes on your parents? What's wrong? Didn't anybody ever teach you not to run away from me? No. If you saw that person, you probably want to smack them on the head, wouldn't you? You're like, what's wrong with you? Don't you have compassion for a little kid? Well, see, when we look at the non-believing people in our life as lost, all of a sudden, that changes, doesn't it? Let's find out what the lost people did to the church in Thessalonica. Verse 14 says this. For you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets, drove us out and displeased God and opposed all mankind by hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles that they might be saved. So always to fill up the measure of their sins, but God's wrath has come upon them at last. Verse 17. But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time, in person, not in heart, we endeavored the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face. Because we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us. So now here's what Paul does. He says, here's what the lost people did to the church in Thessalonica. Okay, they suffered under the hands of the lost people. Then he says, okay, this is no different than what they did to Jesus. They killed Jesus. They killed the prophets. They drove us out of here. They hindered the preaching of God's message of the gospel. And they're doing things by the power of Satan. This is what Paul's saying. This is what lost people do. Here's the issue. Sometimes in life, you are going to be around lost people, people that are not Christians, that are just going to be mean, nasty, inconsiderate, and it could really bring out the worst in us. Maybe some of you would say that they're some of the worst people that you've ever been around. But do you know that the condition of your heart towards God's word will dictate how you respond to them on a day-to-day basis? You can either respond to them the way that they're treating you, or you can respond to them as their condition is, which is lost, like that little boy or girl that's lost in the mall. So let's look. When we have a hard heart towards God's word, it affects the way we handle the opposition. When they come against us, like they did the Thessalonian church, they made them suffer, they tortured them, or whatever they were doing at that time. Then we'll be inclined to do what? Take revenge, right? When my heart's hard, I'm going to take revenge. I'm going to hate them. I'm going to write them off. I'm going to tell them off. And guess what? You might have a couple of people clapping behind you. Yeah, that person, they deserve that. And you're like, yup. And guess what? When you start to say, like, they deserve that, that just shows the condition of your heart that it's hard. That you're not willing to look at the scriptures and what Jesus actually says about how we should treat those who persecute us. Remember, Jesus, one thing that gets me, and I say this all the time, one thing that gets me about Jesus' crucifixion in its entirety is this. Okay, yeah, he was nailed to a cross. He carried his cross. He was flogged. All those things, okay? Those things are terrible and torturous, and they get me. But you know what gets me the worst is when they, you know, put the thing over his head, and they start hitting him. And they say, prophesy about who's hitting you. And they spit on him and mock him. If you were the Son of God, you would come down there. And I'm just reading this like, Jesus, just get off the cross and just clean house right now, because this is really ticking me off. But he didn't. He was reviled, and he reviled not. Because his heart was not hard towards the word of his Father, towards what his Father had him do. See, sometimes when our heart's hard, we start to become like the very people that we can't stand because our hearts are hard. But then sometimes we'll have a shallow heart towards the lost people. We leave here and like, oh, Pastor Mike says, don't be mean to people because Jesus wasn't mean to people. So I'm going to be really nice. And then you're nice, and guess what happens? They're still mean. Really? Well, that didn't work. I got to tell Pastor Mike that he's wrong. And here's what happens. You're very shallow in your thinking. It doesn't work the first time. You don't have patience for it. So you look at life and you're just like, you know what? Like, whatever. Your heart is shallow towards God's word. And then you actually now start to treat the lost people as you would if you would have had a hard heart. Maybe you did before you heard this or before you thought of it. Or maybe a sinful opportunity pops up with those lost people. And you're willing to jump right in because you're ignorant to what God's word says. You're ignorant to what he desires from you. You follow anything, you're blown by the wind. You follow the crowd. Just like you followed it into Christianity, you're following it away from a wholehearted commitment to the Lord. But then if you have a troubled heart towards God's word, here's what's going to happen when you're dealing with lost people. You're just going to get discouraged. Because you're like, I tried all these things, and it doesn't work. You know what? I don't want to be around these people. They make me very upset. I'm going to isolate myself and protect myself from them. I'm going to run from them. I don't want to be anywhere near them. They're nothing like me. I shouldn't be around them. I don't think it's edifying for me to ever be around a non-Christian again. I'm going to protect myself. Now, how would that look? As Christians, if all Christians in this entire world said, you know what? My heart is troubled and I don't want to deal with them. I don't ever want to deal with those lost people. I don't ever want to help out. Think of what would happen to that little boy or girl if they were walking around the mall and everybody who had good intentions didn't want to help that kid. What would happen to that kid? But then when we have a receptive heart towards God's word, we actually start to look at things the way Jesus does. The people are lost. They're lost, and they desperately need to be found. I believe that it's a work of God that reaches out and finds the people, but it's the work of God that uses his people to do that. It's the work of God that uses us to do what Jesus said. Pray for your enemies, love them, bless them, reach out to them. See, when our heart's receptive, we start to realize what our goal is and what our purpose is with that person who is lost. But see, two thoughts I want to leave you with before we go on to the next little section that we have. Two thoughts from this passage. Verse 16, if you took this in, verse 16 says this. By hindering us from speaking so the Gentiles that they might be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins, but God's wrath has come upon them at last. So now, here's what this passage is saying. Here's something you have to think about. If you're thinking about getting revenge on somebody, if you're thinking about doing something back in retaliation, know this. God will take care of them. His wrath will be upon them. God will take care of them. And guess what? If they get saved, they become a Christian. Great, because Jesus takes the wrath on himself. If they don't, they're going to pay for what they've done. So know that in the back of your head, I don't have to pay them back. They'll get what God knows they deserve. But the second thing is found in verse 18, and Paul says this: I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us. Satan hindered them from coming. And listen, I'm not going to say every lost person, every person that's not a believer in Jesus worships Satan, because that's not true. But guess what? Every person who is lost is kind of under his grips. They don't realize it. They don't realize it. 2 Corinthians 4:4, I often quote, blinds the minds of unbeliever. Makes them lost. Makes them lost. So know this in the back of your head, okay, you know what? Anytime I want to think of revenge, God will take care of it. And anytime I think that, you know what, this person's not worth it, or whatever it is, this person's terrible, know that what's backing them is what's against God, Satan. So then, the last little section here, just briefly, I want to point out to you, our response to God's word, the condition of our heart, will actually impact how we look at life in general, how we respond to life in general. See, the hard heart looks at life and says, you know what, there's no purpose in life. There's no purpose in life. A lot of non-believing people feel that way. There's no purpose in life. Or, you know, we're just here. We work. We live 80 years. We die. Whatever it is. Whatever. There's no purpose. See, the shallow heart says something like this: there are many different purposes in life, and when I lose enthusiasm about one, I move on to the next. Okay? These people have spiritual ADD. Okay? What's happening in their life is they're just looking for something else. Okay, they might have one of those coexist stickers on the back of their car. And sorry, if you have one, you better peel it off before service is in. Everything is good. Everything's good. You know? Every way is good. And I'm going to be enthusiastic about one, and when I lose enthusiasm, I'm going to go the other way. That's what they look at life as. They have a shallow heart towards God's word. Troubled heart towards God's word says this: I thought that God gave purpose, but then I started to live for him, and trouble came my way, and I couldn't deal with it. If God was really loving, and if he really cared, nothing bad would ever happen to me. That's what the troubled heart would say. They're ignorant of the promises of God, and they're ignorant of life and how God operates. It's a troubled heart. But then the receptive heart looks at life in this way: purpose in life comes from God, and my purpose is to let others know about him. Purpose in life comes from God, and my purpose is to let other people know about him. Those lost people walking all around this community, my call is to be a light to them. Verses 19 through 20, check this out. Verse 19 says this: for what is our hope or joy or crown or of boasting before the Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. Wow, that's kind of weird. A bunch of people are Paul's glory and joy? It's a bizarre verse, isn't it? Well, here's what Paul's saying. It's like, you, those of you who became Christians and who are living for the Lord, this is what it's all about for me. This is the glory. This is the joy. This is what I live for. That's what this church is here for. Do you know that? We're here to reach out to other people with that message, with the gospel message, so that they become disciples and they go and do the same. Remember, this whole movement that Jesus started, 12 guys, think about that. They all went out, well, not all of them, 11 of them went out and started to do what Jesus told them to do, and continued and continued and continued because their hearts were receptive towards God's word. See, when our hearts are receptive towards the words, it will change the way we respond to God's people, lost people, and life in general. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day. I thank you for your word, Lord. It's the life book that gives us the message of life. I pray, Lord, for our hearts. It's so difficult to keep a receptive heart when the things of life happen to us. It's so easy to fall into the trap of being troubled, being shallow, or even being hard. When we get so far off your path that our hearts are so hard that even a message like this might bother us. I pray, Lord, that you would soften our hearts, that they would be receptive towards who you are and what you've done, so that we would realize what our purpose is here. Lord, and I pray for anybody here who doesn't know you as their Savior. whose heart has been consistently hard against trusting in you, that you would penetrate that hard heart, that they would let you in. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.